So my arms are awfully twisted. Or maybe my knives are turned. Or... I don't have another analogy, really. Some of you who've been listening to this podcast since the pre-industrial age may have heard tonight's story before. If recent commenters are to be believed, and I have no choice but to believe them, then it's in need of a retelling. And so here you are. A bonus take two of an old favourite, with a plea to untwist my arms. Good evening. It's the 5th of January 2010, and it's Miette's Bedtime Story Podcast. The Sin of Jesus by Itzhak Babel. Irina was a servant at the hotel. She lived next to the main staircase, while Sir Yoga, the janitor's helper, lived over the back stairs. Between them there was shame. On Palm Sunday, Irina gave Sir Yoga a present. Twins. Water flows, stars shine, a man lusts, and soon Irina was big again. Her sixth month was rolling by. They're slippery, a woman's months. And now Sir Yoga must go into the army. There's a mess for you. So, Irina goes and says, "No sense, Sir Yoga. There's no sense in my waiting for you. For 4 years we'll be parted, and in 4 years, whichever way you look at it, I'll be sure to bring two or three more into this world. It's like walking around with your skirt turned up, working at the hotel. Whoever stops here, he's your master. Let him be a Jew. Let him be anybody at all. By the time you come home, my insides will be no good anymore. I'll be a used-up woman. No match for you." "That's so," Sir Yoga nodded. "There's many that want me. Trofimik, the contractor. But he's no gentleman. And Isai Abramich, the warden of Nikolosvayek Church. A feeble old man. But anyway, I'm sick to the stomach of your murderous strength. I tell you this now. I say it like I would at confession. I've got the wind plain knocked out of me. I'll spill my load in 3 months, then I'll take the baby to the orphanage and marry the old man." When Sir Yoga heard this, he took off his belt and beat her like a hero, right on the belly. "Look out there," Irina said to him. "Go soft on the belly. It's your stuffing, no one else's." There was no end to the beating, no end to the man's tears and the woman's blood. But that is neither here nor there. Then the woman came to Jesus Christ. "So on and so forth," she says. "Lord Jesus, I am the woman from the Hotel Madrid and Louvre, the one on Tverskaya Street. Working at the hotel, it's just like going around with your skirt up. Let a man stop there, and he's your lord and master. Let him be a Jew, let him be anybody at all. There is another slave of yours walking the earth, the janitor's helper, Sir Yoga. Last year, on Palm Sunday, I bore him twins." And so, she described it all to the Lord.
"And what if Sir Yoga were not to go into the army after all?" the Saviour suggested.
"Try and get away with it, not with the policeman around. He'll drag him off as sure as daylight."
"Oh, yes, the policeman.
The lord bowed his head. I never thought of him.
Then perhaps you ought to live in purity for a while.
For 4 years, the woman cried. To hear you talk, all people should deny their animal nature.
That's just your old ways all over again.
And where will the increase come from?
No, you'd better give me some sensible advice.
The lord's cheeks turned scarlet. The woman's words had touched a tender spot. But he said nothing.
You cannot kiss your own ear, even God knows that.
I'll tell you what, God's servant, glorious sinner, maiden Arena, the lord proclaimed in all his glory.
I have a little angel here in heaven, hanging around uselessly. His name is Alfred. Lately he's gotten out of hand altogether. Keeps crying and nagging all the time. What have you done to me, Lord? Why do you turn me into an angel in my 20th year, and me a hale young fellow?
So, I'll give you Alfred the angel as a husband for 4 years. He'll be your prayer, he'll be your protection, and he'll be your solace. And as for offspring, you've nothing to worry about. You can't bear a duckling from him, let alone a baby, for there's a lot of fun in him, but no seriousness.
That's just what I need. The maid Arena wept gratefully. Their seriousness takes me to the doorstep of the grave 3 times every 2 years.
You'll have sweet respite, God's child, Arena. May your prayers be light as a song. Amen.
And so it was decided. Alfred was brought in. A frail young fellow. Delicate. 2 wings fluttering behind his pale blue shoulders, rippling with rosy light like 2 doves playing in heaven.
Arena threw her hefty arms about him, weeping out of tenderness, out of her woman's soft heart.
Alfred, my soul, my consolation, my bridegroom.
In parting, the lord gave her strict instructions to take off the angel's wings every night before he went to bed. His wings were attached to hinges like a door, and every night she was to take them off and wrap them in a clean sheet, because they were brittle, his wings, and could snap as he tossed in bed. For what were they made of but the size of babes? No more than that. For the last time, the lord blessed the union, while the choir of bishops, called in for the occasion, rendered thunderous praises. No food was served, not a crumb. That wasn't the style in heaven. And then Arena and Alfred, their arms about each other, ran down a silken ladder, straight back to earth. They came to Petrovka, the street where nothing but the best is sold. The woman would do right by her Alfred, for he, if one might say so, not only lacked socks, but was altogether as natural as when his mother bore him. And she bought him patent leather half-boots, checked jersey trousers, a fine hunting jacket, and an electric blue vest. The rest, she says, we'll find at home. That day, Arena begged off from work. Sir Yoga came and raised a fuss, but she did not even come out to him, only said from behind her locked door, Sergei Nefentyik, I am at present a-washing my feet and beg you to retire without further noise. He went away without a word. The angel's power was already beginning to manifest itself. In the evening, Irina set out a supper fit for a merchant. The woman had devilish vanity. A half pint of vodka, wine on the side, a Danube herring with potatoes, a samovar of tea. When Alfred had partaken of all these earthly blessings, he keeled over in a dead sleep. Quick as a wink, Irina lifted off his wings from the hinges, packed them away, and carried him to bed in her arms. There it lies, the snowy wonder, on the eiderdown pillows of her tattered, sinful bed, sending forth a heavenly radiance. Moon-silver shafts of light pass and repass, alternate with red ones, float across the floor, sway over his shining feet. Irina weeps and rejoices, sings and prays. Irina, thou hast been granted a happiness unheard of on this battered earth. Blessed art thou among women. They had drunk the vodka to the last drop, and now it took effect. As soon as they fell asleep, she went and rolled over on top of Alfred with her hot 6 months' big belly. Not enough for her to sleep with an angel. Not enough that nobody beside her spat at the wall, snored and shouted. That wasn't enough for the clumsy, ravening slut. No, she had to warm her belly too, her burning belly big with Ser Yoga's lust. And so, she smothered him in her fuddled sleep, smothered him like a weak old babe in the midst of her rejoicing, crushed him under her bloated weight, and he gave up the ghost, and his wings, wrapped in her sheet, wept pale tears. Dawn came, and all the trees bowed low to the ground. In distant northern forests, each fir tree turned into a priest. Each fir tree bent its knees in silent worship. Once more the woman stands before the Lord's throne. She is broad in the shoulders, mighty, the young corpse drooping in her huge red arms. Behold, Lord. But here the gentle heart of Jesus could endure no more, and he cursed the woman in his anger. As it is on earth, so shall it be with you, Irina, from this day on. How is it then, Lord? The woman replied in a scarcely audible voice. Was it I who made my body heavy? Was it I that brewed vodka on earth? Was it I that created a woman's soul, stupid and lonely? I don't wish to be bothered with you, exclaimed the Lord Jesus. You've smothered my angel, you filthy scum. And Irina was thrown back to earth on a putrid wind, straight down to Tverskaya Street, to the Hotel Madrid and Louvre, where she was doomed to spend her days. And once there, the sky was the limit. Ser Yoga was carousing, drinking away his last days, seeing as he was a recruit. The contractor Trofmiek, just come from Kolomna, took one look at Irina, hefty and red-cheeked. "Oh, you cute little belly," he said, and so on and so forth. Isai Abrimyk, the old codger, heard about this cute little belly, and he was right there too, wheezing toothlessly. "I cannot wed you lawfully," he said, "after all that happened. However, I can lie with you the same as anyone." The old man ought to be lying in cold Mother Earth instead of thinking of such things, but no. He too must take his turn at spitting into her soul. It was as though they had all slipped the chain. Kitchen boys, merchants, foreigners. A fellow in trade, he likes to have his fun. And that is the end of my tale. Before she was laid up, for 3 months had rolled by in the meantime, Irina went out into the backyard, behind the janitor's rooms, raised her monstrous belly to the silken sky and said stupidly, "See, Lord? What a belly! They hammer at it like peas falling in a colander. And what sense there's in it, I just can't see. But I've had enough." With his tears, Jesus laved Irina where he heard these words. The Saviour fell on his knees before her. "Forgive me, little Irina. Forgive your sinful God for all he has done to you." But Irina shook her head and would not listen. "There's no forgiveness for you, Jesus Christ," she said. "No forgiveness, and never will be."